Hello again, I'm Kathleen Dunn. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 5th of August. Obesity rates in children in this country have tripled over the last 20 years. But a lot of young people are, as you well know, going to fast food restaurants. And they offer primarily high-calorie meals for children. 93% of children's meals are high in calories. 45% are high in saturated fat, 86% high in sodium. There was a report released yesterday by the Center for Science and the Public Interest saying that parents would like to feed their children healthy meals, but America's chain restaurants are setting parents up to fail so that we have this expectation of what a meal is if you're a young person is burgers, fried chicken, pizza, French fries, mac and cheese, and soda in various combination at almost every lunch and dinner. The center suggests that there be calorie counts on menus and menu boards, and they've already appeared in a number of United States cities, New York City, San Francisco, Seattle, Washington, and the California legislature may be on the verge of passing a statewide menu labeling bill, which lobbyists for the chain industry are fighting. Joining us this hour to talk about the report, and we would imagine that we'll get a lot of phone calls from you on this as well, is Professor Gail Frank, professor of nutrition at California State University, Long Beach, and author of Community Nutrition, Applying Epidemiology to Contemporary Practice. Our phone number, as we welcome your phone calls, is 800-486-8655, 414-227-2050. 414-227-2050. The email is talk@wpr.org. And I guess the question that I'd like to ask you is, what kind of billboard do you think there should be in these fast food restaurants, if any, that talks about the amount of fat in the children's meals, that talks about sodium, that talks about health risks associated with mac and cheese and cheeseburgers and fried chicken and pizza, etc.? We welcome your calls. So we will get on with the subject and introduce our guest, Professor Gail Frank. Hello. Thanks very much for being with us.
Good morning, Kathleen.
You know, it's interesting how many of these restaurants serve stuff that has so many calories. It's as though you've had your whole meal, all the calories you should have at lunch.
That's correct. I mean, that's the picture. And it's such a rude awakening. In fact, I think this report is a wake-up call about once or twice a year, there will be a study that surfaces, and again, it reminds our parents that they need to be involved in the decision-making, not only when they feed their children, but what they feed their children, or what they release in terms of who said we can turn over this responsibility for feeding our children to the fast food restaurants. Mm-hmm. I think that's what has happened.
Yeah. And when you look at the consequences of this, they're extremely serious. You cite in the report that children ages 5 to 10 show early signs of heart disease, which is amazing. And the arteries begin to clog in childhood.
This is very true. This is not something we're making up. In fact, over 25 years ago, I spent 17 years in cardiovascular research studying children and looking at dietary habits and patterns. And we saw the early natural history of heart disease beginning in children. And we had been alerted to this by the young recruits for several of our wars, where, like World War II and Vietnam, when we were really looking at the health and well-being. And we had the opportunity to look, regrettably, at the arteries and say there was something that was developing within the body very early, laying down fatty tissue streaks that would close those arteries and lead to a potentially early heart attack. So what has happened is that this is information we've now known. It's been in the science for over 30, 40 years, that we begin very early in this process in our bodies. So what you feed your children early in life and create the eating pattern has a great deal to do with whether or not they have an early morbidity, an early illness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what's dangerous. It's very much dangerous, and parents need to grab into that and say, I am responsible for what my children eat and what imprint I'm placing on them in terms of their food habits.
Right. Do you have any idea? The industry obviously must know that it's contributing to heart disease and other health problems. Why would they continue to put forward meals that are filled with calories, that are filled with sodium? What's the point?
I think we do, of course, live in a free enterprise system, and we want to have options, and we have busy parents, and we want things easy. It's part of the lifestyle. So it's part of our free enterprise system to have foods that kids like, that they love, that parents say, hey, I'll spend my time doing something else with my children, and rather than fixing breakfast for them in the morning or having a meal in the evening. So we have turned over that responsibility. Now, my concern is that it is a shared responsibility, and I think it is a part of business and industry to say the national effort is to look at this obesity issue, look mm-hmm. at the type 2 diabetes, the hypertension, these early risk factors that we are seeing in our young children, diabetes being diagnosed in preschoolers, mm. five-year-olds, and we've never used to hear of this, but it's so much linked to the weight issue, the body weight issue, and when there's that rapid gain in weight early in life, and children carry this, the predictions. We have so much evidence-based research now that shows children overweight within the first couple years of life will hold that into the teen years. If they're holding it in pre-adolescent and teen years, they're going to hold that weight into young adulthood.
Mm-hmm.
And so the issue is there is a responsibility, and industry does try to give choices. Now, we have to say they try to respond, and there are some restaurants that give more choices and healthier choices. So it's almost like the parents need to say, okay, if this is the total meal and I go in and it's easiest for me to say a number 3 or a number 5,
sure.
or that's what the children want, I think we need to take that apart. We need to say, what can we build together? If we're not doing it on our breakfast table, then what are we doing when we go into the fast food restaurant? Can we pick and choose the foods that'll be healthier for our children?
Right. And it doesn't take very much, as the report points out. If you substitute some French fries and you give a fruit cup, or if you get rid of that soda and give juice or something like that, it really cuts the calories substantially, doesn't it?
I think you can cut from one-third to one-half.
Wow.
Based on your choices. Because if you have these packaged meals that truly are billed as being the value is the cost value. The value is not the heart health or the prevention of early signs of any other problem. That's what parents have to see. The value is starting the kids early. Now, the problem is not many of the fast food restaurants give the healthy choices. They do not give the choices, so you are the allowance to substitute. You either have to have those available so you can work with your children and say, in a fast food restaurant, we can decide to have milk instead of a carbonated beverage. Or we can even cut the calories and go down to having a side salad instead of the French fries. Or when did parents not think, share the meals? If you have more than one child, have your food item, buy the meal, and then share it among your children and add fresh fruit.
Right.
Take the opportunity to have the salad. Look at what your choices are and not just go in and say, I'm turning over the responsibility. It's easy. I'm just going to roll with this the way it's set before me. And I think that's the part, because part of that report was saying industry believes parents do have a responsibility. Well, again, it's a shared responsibility, but parents need to be smart about it and know this can be a way to look at how can I teach my child to make the best decision. The other point is to take back that responsibility. When kids get up in the morning, I do think it's the parent's responsibility to have a breakfast. Break that fast. Have healthy choices. Some of the most important standard foods that we have relied upon for decades, oatmeal as the centerpiece, can be a marvelous way to begin the day and let the child choose their toppings. Have your whole grains, have your fresh fruit, have your dairy products, your yogurt, your milk, anything they'd like to add. So what happens is that you can have the fastest fast food at home with your breakfast table, on your breakfast table. You can even cook your pot of oatmeal the night before, or have your cereals or your choices, and build this so that you can create health beginning early in the morning. And I think that's really a part of what parents need to do. They are role models, and they need to engage with their children at the beginning of the day. It's a very important point so that we can pick and choose, but choose to begin that whole lifestyle early in the morning at home on your breakfast table.
Right. We just got back from Ireland and spent 2 weeks where they have these enormous breakfasts, and a lot of the choosings are quite healthy. Some of them are not, but it was amazing for a family. I'm the only one who really loves breakfast. I just love breakfast. It's my favorite meal. I like to get up and eat. But the boys in the family are not that crazy about it. But the fact that it was included in the price and the dollar is doing so badly, everybody was up at the crack of dawn to go and eat breakfast, and we all changed our habits for a couple of weeks. It was terrific to see it.
I think what happens is that we have generations that have not had the getting up in the morning and having breakfast there at home. We've had a couple decades here where our whole lifestyle has changed drastically. Another reason why kids aren't used to this. So it means that modeling was not there. That modeling that you and I had early in life, that was the routine. You have your 100% juice. You have your cereal. You can have eggs periodically during the week for breakfast. You have your dairy products, milk, and it's almost as if you don't have breakfast unless you have a cold glass of milk or you have milk on your cereal. And so what happens is that parents and lifestyles have changed, and the change has been turning over that responsibility to the fast food restaurants. So it really says, we have to look at this, and just your experience, Kathleen, is just a shining example of how within a few days and given the environment and the situation, you can begin to make changes. Because of the economic issue, I think it's really important to say, what can we take back into our home? What can we do to really imprint our children onto some healthy patterns? And so what happens is that pick and choose. Don't let fast food restaurants be the meal every day, either in the evening or for breakfast on the way to school or on the weekends at the noontime. So the thing is that I think families are going to look at how they can save money and save the health of their children, promote and prevent the onset of these illnesses and these problems that we're seeing so much earlier in life by what we do within our home and with our family.
Right. Now, I know that some of the restaurants in certain states are required to put the caloric intake of their children's meals. Has that been effective? When you are given that choice, do you make other choices that are healthier?
I don't know if we have good research yet in this sort of this innovation to have those values printed. Now, do remember, almost the majority of these restaurants have had leaflets or brochures or materials. Many have had those to guide parents, but you usually had to ask for the information. Because I'm a professor of nutrition, because I teach students about looking at the community and how to really bring information and nutrition education to the community, my students were aware that they could go in, but they'd need to ask. So now what's happening is that if it's printed, will parents, will kids make choices? I think the main question is, do parents even know how many calories their children should have? Do they know that on the average a 10-year-old child should not have over 2,000 calories, a boy or girl, in the whole day? So if they know that, and then they look at the menu board and the meal's going to give 1,200 calories, what's that saying?
Mm-hmm.
It really teaches you. So I think the information will be very helpful. Much of the information was there prior, but parents didn't take time. Kids didn't think it was important. However, I will say that I have been involved in studies, and I've even looked at the issue of, will parents listen to kids if they're learning the information? And I have seen firsthand in my own grocery store, almost with my sunglasses on and standing to the side, when I hear a child saying, Mom, let's have the fresh fruit, or let's have salad for dinner tonight, and the moms don't listen, or the dads don't listen. I mean, it's almost like they don't think their child could have learned something in school. And there are great efforts, many programs that are teaching our children that are trying to say, let's teach them in this new core of children and cohort coming up the better ways to eat. But parents aren't always listening. So back to the menu board. If you have that information on how much is in the food or in the meal, will you use it? Will you know how to use it? One of the important guides we have available on the web is if you look at mypyramid.gov,
okay.
And this is developed by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and it allows an adult, a child, anyone to go in and put description of themselves, if they're a boy, a girl, their age, how active, and they can see what they need for the day, and then they can see how to build a healthy meal. Now, we could do that education. I'd rather see some of the screen time and the computer time spent on children and families learning how to manage their intake. And if they know what their children need for healthy eating to sort of blunt this weight gain and really guide them, then when they go into the restaurant, if that information's available, they can make healthy choices. And again, it's a rude awakening. If you have a fried food or more than one fried food in a meal for a child, you have exceeded, you have doubled the number of calories that should be allowed at that meal, one-third of the total calories of the day. So if it's a 10-year-old, I'm using that as my example, on the average 2,000 calories, that's about 670 calories that should be the maximum in that noontime meal. And one-quarter of the calories for the day should be at breakfast. The rest of them you spread through snacks in your evening meal. So, you know, we do have the information. It's just being willing to learn and explore and say how best to pick and choose.
Right. We're going to welcome phone calls. Professor Gail Frank is our guest, professor of nutrition at California State University, Long Beach, author of Community Nutrition, Applying Epidemiology to Contemporary Practice. And we're talking about this study that was released yesterday by the Center for Science and the Public Interest. They did a very extensive examination of fast food restaurants and found that the analysis of the nutritional quality of kids' meals at 13 top restaurant chains shows that 93% of 1,474 possible choices exceeded 430 calories, which is an amount that is one-third of what the Institute of Medicine recommends children ages 4 through 8 should consume in a day. And the report went on to say that what there should be is menus at the top of the, you know, when you're ordering your food, you look up and it says this has so many calories, or I think maybe it might be a good idea to go beyond that and say it has so much sodium, it has so much trans fat or whatever, to help parents and perhaps children as well make some choices that are healthier for them so we can take on this issue of obesity, which is a huge problem in this country. So what do you think? Join us, okay? Our number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. If you're in Milwaukee, it's 414-227-2050. And if you'd like to send an email, you could do that as well. That address is talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go to your phone calls, 800-486-8655. If you're joining us in Milwaukee, it is 414-227-2050. And again, our guest is Professor Gail Frank, professor of nutrition at California State University, Long Beach, author of Community Nutrition, Applying Epidemiology to Contemporary Practice. And let's start with an email, which just came in, and then we'll go to our phone calls. The calories should be the main issue, Jesse writes from Milwaukee, as long as the calories are good and healthy. Organic foods and juices without artificial and natural flavors, they are good for you. Trans fats need to be the main issue. They are the worst health problem, and it shows a lack of responsibility in the parts of parents to feed their children trans fats. If you won't feed your children plastic plates, then don't feed them trans fats. They need to be outlawed in all cases. What do you think?
Are you asking me, Kathleen, to respond
yes,
to that,
please.
Or your public, or the
yes,
public?
No,
okay.
You.
Well, you know, we have a new law just signed into effect in California to restrict and eliminate the trans fat, and it is an extremely damaging fat that has been used, and I agree to eliminate. However, I have, in my over 30-year career, been very concerned is that we get blinded with some of the issues without really looking at the total amount of fat. Over the years, when trans fat was used, it's a fairly small percentage of the total amount of fat that comes into our eating pattern. So I don't want us to go over bounds and be overly concerned when trans fat, even though it's damaging, it's a small piece of the total message. Now, I agree with eliminating it, and I agree with what we'll start to see and the changes signed into law to eliminate that, and California will lead that effort. But I think what's more important is that we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to not have more than 30% of our calories from fat in the whole day. That's every meal. That's when you look at all of the foods that are available to you. And if you have a high amount of fried foods, if you add fat, a lot of sauces, a lot of hidden fat in the products, and when that fat is saturated, it's as damaging to the arteries. So it's really looking at how can you invest yourself and your children in your choices. Now, I agree with adding the fruits and vegetables, with putting the low-fat choices, but I also agree is that we don't have to go out and make it a difficult task. We have eaten, there have been ways to meet the 5-a-day, 7-a-day, 9-a-day fruits and vegetables. A half a cup of fruit, a medium piece of a sized fruit, having fruit added to any salad you eat, any cereal you eat. Let it be the snack. There are ways to begin to add the rich array of vitamins and minerals that we need that can be protective, and it lowers the calories. At the same time, you really look at the low-fat dairies, the lean meats, the fish and the fats that are inherent in some of the fish that are protective to the heart, the omega-3 fatty acids. Adding that in as 3 or 4 choices of your entree in the evening and building those taste buds for the children. All of these are very important efforts. And so, yes, it's easy when you can take an ingredient or an item that's visible that we have added, man has added to our products. It's easy to see it and take it out. But the hidden items and the portion sizes and the amounts of overall fat and saturated fat, when we don't stop and take a little bit of effort to go through the mental gymnastics of saying, what are some of the things I can do that may have a greater impact?
Sure.
So I really do believe the effort is not be blindsided with some of the things that are a little quicker and easier to do, but again, look at the lifestyle, the pattern across all these meals and all these foods.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to Carolyn from Green Bay. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, I have three comments, and then I'll get off the air. My first is, I don't know who said it, but there's someone whose theory is eat real food, mostly fruits and vegetables, and if you're going to eat a carb, make it complex. I don't know who said that, but that's the rule of thumb I try to use when eating. And when I go to a fast food restaurant with my family, I order a salad, and you can get some really good salads at fast food restaurants. Unfortunately, I cannot convince my family to do the same. When we go there, even though they have healthy choices, my kids gravitate towards the fries and the huge, butter burger or something like that. And so, if you're going to a fast food restaurant, getting kids to eat healthy is nearly impossible. And then my third comment is about sports drinks. So many times people think those are healthy alternatives. Even the schools have sports drinks. They say, well, we don't have soda anymore, but they have these sports drinks, and those are so full of calories and sugar. And really, they, unless you're a football player and you're in the middle of the Super Bowl, I've heard that they really aren't that good for kids, and I wish you could talk to that, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Well, a few comments here that I do understand the problem, being a parent myself, that what happens when you take your children, and it's almost like now they think they can have their burger, their fries, their chicken nuggets, etc. So let's step back. If the mom likes the salad, as our caller had mentioned, then are you modeling that at home? Are you modeling that so that you're noon meals, your evening meals when your children are there, are you starting with the salad? Are you having that as a part of, this is sort of the natural way to eat a meal? So, I mean, that patterning will have an impact then when you do go into the fast food restaurant. The other thing is that if you're not going to the fast food restaurant every day, then if the total day's intake has been low in fat, low in sodium, low in sugar, and you're going to the fast food restaurant knowing they're going to pick certain foods, then learn to balance that so that it is a 24-hour eating period. Every way we evaluate nutrient intake, adults, children, whether we have deficiency in intake, is looking at a 24-hour period. So think of that. And from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, what are you doing? What are your children eating during that 24 hours? So begin to balance, look at it. So I think there are strategies and ways parents can tackle this. The other issue, the sports drinks. Now, I would much rather see a child drink plain water. There are studies, evidence, that the refueling, the rehydration, when you are active, you will drink more water if it is sort of enhanced, the taste is enhanced. And this, we know that is an issue. But again, I agree, these kids that are buying the water and they are the flavored water, if there are added calories, most may not have over 25 to 50 calories added, but that's still 25 to 50 calories. And so if the issue is water, then have the plain water. Encourage that, buy that, model that. But at the same time, I think the whole issue is those, I agree, are not necessarily the better ones. I would much rather, if a child is thirsty and it's not during athletics, but it's just your routine nutrition break, can they buy low-fat milk? Can they buy a flavored non-fat milk? I would much rather them have that or 100% juice or regular water. So There's a little bit of premise based on the science for rehydration, yes, because you want more fluid coming in when you're in athletics, when the heat of the summer, when children may need that. But I think it's a good point, and is making money for the school, look at what the other choices can be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Bridget next from Lincoln Hills. Hi, Bridget.
Hi, this is Bridget.
Hi.
I have a couple of comments that I wanted to make. First, my first time calling in, and I'm really enjoying the show as I'm traveling on my way to vacation. So it's enjoyable to come into Wisconsin and get a good NPR show.
Great.
The other comment is that as a parent who has made a conscientious effort to try to educate my kids and feed them nutritious meals with an occasional, you know, special evening out or, you know, in a pinch having to stop at a McDonald's on traveling incidences, the families who cannot afford these healthier lifestyles are the really unfortunate ones that we're talking about, and it is so much cheaper to feed your family lesser quality food than it is to feed your family healthy foods. I mean, I spend a lot of extra money shopping at places like Trader Joe's and Whole Foods and trying to feed my family a healthy meal, but I'm well aware that I place a value on this, but I have the luxury of being able to afford it. And there are so many families, especially I'm a teacher, there are so many families, so many kids in my school whose families cannot afford this. And it's much cheaper to go to the grocery store and buy a 12-pack of Capri Sun than it is to buy the 12-pack of 100% juice or to buy a box of donuts versus to buy a box of bran muffins. And I think that that's one of the big issues when it comes to looking at the way the nutritional levels that children are taking in. I think there's a direct correlation between their socioeconomic level and their nutritional level.
Mm-hmm. And even for those, I was watching a news report last night, the number of people who are able to eat organic food now, the cost of that food has gone up substantially. So we were moving toward a more healthy way of growing our foods, and now we can't afford them.
Right. And, well, it, and there so is many an of issue. The organic foods and eating a more natural way is also way less convenient. And in today's society and our lifestyles where moms and dads are both working and everybody's on the go and kids are playing sports and you're rushing home to try to get a meal on.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier to grab something that's been packaged and full of sodium and full of fat that is the quick fill versus chopping the vegetables and preparing these, you know, lovely nutritious meals.
Mm-hmm. Professor Frank.
Yes, Bridget, you know, I agree with sort of the what you're seeing. And there are perceptions that you cannot eat healthy with other foods. I disagree from the standpoint is that we know you can build healthy meals if you're willing to invest some time into it. Now, you know, the example of the beverages already prepackaged versus what you might have at a farmer's market. I mean, even there in Wisconsin, one of the marvelous farmer's markets, and they're coming into every major community that will have agriculture and support the local agriculture. I mean, this is a way to begin to open your eyes and say, you know, I can do it. And USDA has really looked at food pricing, food cost, and come up with meals. I think what ends up happening, and I see this repetitively, people do not want to invest a little bit more time to learn a way to do some of the pre-prep, package your own, fix your own items and put it in your own baggies, fix your own huge container of oatmeal, and then the next morning you use your yogurt or your milk or whatever the child chooses to add the items. When fruits are in season, buying them, freezing them individually in packets to have for snack, to have for food, and same for vegetables. You know, there are ways to do this. And so I do disagree if we're not going to come up with options from a cost standpoint and from a way to bring it back. And some people, and I mean, I live in an area where you do lots of driving to get anywhere. And I do believe you have to be creative, but it can be done. And so I am one to always believe we can invest and we may return to some of the basic ways we were fed long ago. I mean, those core whole foods that are available to us can be used. These other items are truly condiments to our eating. The fast food should be a condiment to our eating pattern. It should not be the base of how we eat. And yes, it can be a special meal, but if children think this is my special meal, then it must be a good meal. It must be important. So there are many, many ways we teach our kids, and sometimes it's a little erroneous. So I think that it's very important to look at what is now becoming more available. Our low-income families do have options. Sometimes if we have a little bit more expendable money to use for food, we may go ahead and do the easy thing. But I think if we were thinking of health, we should step back and look at some of the whole grains, some of the cereals, some of the food items that are available to us at a farmer's market rather than going to a Whole Food grocery store where there's going to be more price added by virtue of the merchandising to get it there. And I think it really, we must step back and take this apart.
And tell me what the figures show in terms of fast food restaurants. Do they now comprise the majority or close to the majority of the foods that we eat on a weekly basis?
I think it's up, you know, it depends per family and per individual. But I think as a rule, we usually are looking somewhere between 40%, maybe 50% of the meals.
Wow.
Depending. I mean, it does vary. There may be some individuals who once a day, you know, they eat out.
Mm-hmm.
It could be some families with a larger number of families look at, maybe it's down to 20 or 30%. And then as Bridget mentioned, it could be, you know, the, quote, treat. So the point is that it does vary. I think the issue is look at what you're doing. Keep track of what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not on a daily basis, look at it over a week now. Within a week's time, including that weekend, what happens? You know, what is your pattern for your family? What do you want to do? We have a new school year starting. How can I invest as a parent into starting some new patterns, some new trends? Will my children eat their school lunch? What will I do for breakfast?
Mm-hmm.
What time at night will we have our last meal? And I think it if anything, it gets you out of the humdrumness of saying, I'm defeated. I can't make a change for the health and well-being of my children and my family. And I'm not one to accept that. I've never been. I don't promote it. And we need to educate. Look at the positive materials that are available, the talk shows, this talk show in itself, talking about the real issues, but not giving up on what we as parents can do. Parents are role models. Research shows, our evidence shows, young children look at the mother. And the boys will gravitate not only to the mother when they're young, but what the dad does. What is happening in terms of that modeling early? And, of course, when they go off to school, the percentage goes down in terms of the number of children that really choose their mom or their dad as the major role model. Because we have the media, we
sure.
have the stars, we have the peers that begin to influence. But we also have teachers, coaches, principals, who impact those children. Research shows us is that those models shift. So I think parents could say, what's happening? What are we doing in modeling? What do our kids see? And then what happens when the children are in social events, athletics? What foods are available to them? And, you know, this creates the lifestyle. And so it's looking at where are these different avenues that we can impact. And it's a duty and a responsibility, but I don't think health-conscious parents want to give up on this and you know, dig in their heels and say, I'm not going to make any changes. I think every year with the new school year, we need to reinvest and say, what are the small changes? What are the ways I can impact to improve my child's health?
Thanks, Bridget, very much for your call. We're going to welcome more phone calls in a moment. Our guest is Professor Gail Frank, Professor of Nutrition at California State University, Long Beach, author of Community Nutrition, Applying Epidemiology to Contemporary Practice. We're looking at fast food kids' meals around the country and a report released yesterday by the Center for Science and the Public Interest that shows that children's menus at restaurants are too high in calories and good options are hard to find. So we're looking at what can be done about that. Two more calls, 800-486-8655 is the number. And if you'd like to send an email, you could do that at talk@WPR.org, talk@WPR.org. I'm Kathleen Dunn. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We go back to your phone calls and emails, and we have an email now from Rick from Madison. On recent road trips, we've found it difficult to find healthy food near the interstates. The options need to be expanded. We need more information, but information alone is not enough. A tiny print listing of nutrition is unlikely to lead kids or parents to the right choices. What we need is a more aggressive, visually stimulating ad campaign. Popular role models with thin alpha kids tied to good choices make it cool to eat healthy and offer healthy meals rather than happy meals. What do you think of that?
Well, I think it's definitely would have an impact, but where is the budget for that? Mm. We don't see prevention and we don't see fast food restaurants pushing something opposite of their own products. And I have been very pleased with many of the efforts in California through our Department of Health Services. And so states could take this on. If parents say and write in and say, let's do billboards, let's do these ads to combat what's happening and the choices available, then maybe it would look cool and it would show up on TV and it would be an investment in our public stations, our community-based efforts. I think there is a way, because the media, and when something is, whether it's on YouTube, whether it's on the web, whether it's in the teen magazines or the preteen magazines, that's what the kids will gravitate to and look as cool. So, you know, the budget to do that is tremendous, but the budget to counter it's very challenging. We don't have dollars that go into the teaching, the prevention like we should. So I have to come back to, sometimes you are caught. As parents, you're caught, and if you're out on the road and you're hungry and you haven't thought ahead to have the peanut butter and the bread or the cheese, mozzarella cheese sticks, or, you know, if you haven't thought ahead, been able to plan and set that up, or go to grocery stores along the way and markets along the way, farmers markets, I mean, find out where they are before you head out on the road. And there are other options. And so the issue is sometimes you're caught, but you're caught because maybe there hasn't been the planning. And mm-hmm. education starts at home. I mean, sure, just handing a child a flyer or a parent is not going to mean much. It's going to get covered up, thrown away, maybe not reviewed. But if you have taste tests, if you give options, if you bring new foods into your home, if you, you know, try 6, 7, 8 times, research shows us changing a taste, a habit, may take a repetitive orientation to it, introducing it 6, 7 times before there becomes a little ease in willingness
to
take it. Oh,
that's interesting.
Huh. And, you know, and this we know. So it's applying this science, the evidence that we see in what makes people tick, what makes people choose things. It's no different from children. So you are caught sometimes on that road, but think when you get off the road, instead of just filling up and going into what's only available there, explore that area, find out prior, and plan ahead.
Yeah. Sharon from Brown Deer is next. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Great
sure.
show. I'd like to ask the professor, she mentioned before the website mypyramid.gov. I heard some time ago that there was some website that you could input what you've been eating in a day and that it will tell you what nutrients you've missed and give you suggestions what will take care of those. Oh. Have you ever heard of that?
Well, there are many websites that allow you to put in your list, and I suggest you do explore these different options through our USDA website. And it does allow for you to go in and build and select your foods. I mean, since the early 70s, those of us in research have been using these databases and assuring that the foods and the items listed are valid in terms of the nutrients that they say. And so many researchers and universities have been involved, as well as our government, in creating these so they can respond to the needs of people. And yes, there are commercial ones available, and there are many websites that you can go into that are calculators that will give you, you list your foods and it will say. So it's almost as if you could Google to find out if there's a specific one linked to the products that you like, or is there a government-based or a university-based website? And I would start with our government-based and our USDA or the Centers for Disease Control, but mainly our USDA, and say what is available through Food and Nutrition Services, FNS, and really looking mypyramid.gov, and be able to go in and enter foods, and it'll total it for the day, and it also will show you then in a 24-hour period, based on your age, based on your gender, potentially physical activity, what have you met, what's low, based on your nutrient needs for the day. So these are available, and I think our USDA has done a great job, so I would check out their website.
Okay.
Kate, may I ask another question?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I have an 8-year-old son that's on meds, and the meds take away his appetite during the day. So I know that he'll eat a good breakfast, sometimes eat some of his lunch, but when he really gets hungry is literally in the middle of the night. Mm. So while you were talking, I was kind of thinking that right now the best I can think of is to figure out what foods would be appropriate and then let him eat when he's hungry as long as he eats, you know, this grouping, like what would have been a regular dinner. Is that, do you have any suggestions?
Well, I certainly think you should bring this up with your physician, with your son's physician, and look at the timing of the medication and the potential impact. And the good news is that he eats his breakfast, because I think that's the best way to, you know, to start the day for your child or for any child. And then if, there's a whole issue here with sleep being broken and eating and a different pattern. And I really think looking at how you can begin to potentially regulate that so that it's not continued for the next several years, this a little chain, strange, somewhat of a strange pattern. Yet if he is waking up in the middle of the night, what could you package and create and have available so that if he does need to eat, what would you have that would be healthy? So I think you're mentioning the foods he likes. I would make a list of those, and I also would make a list, make sure they're not counter the medication or whatever the condition is that you're working with, and list those and then say, well, what are some side options that are maybe a little healthier, and begin to provide those. So build maybe 30-40 foods that you would like to have available at all times that would be the healthier choices. But I do think you need to talk to your physician. Let him or her know what's happening in terms of the time period and when these things are occurring, and seeing if there's some way you could time that differently to not have that impact on the eating pattern.
And thank you so much for your call. I'm afraid that's all the time we're going to have for this hour. Thank you so much, Professor Frank. It was an interesting and informative hour. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.
Thank you. Professor Gail Frank is a professor of nutrition at California State University in Long Beach and author of Community Nutrition, Applying Epidemiology to Contemporary Practice, responding to the Center for Science and the Public Interest investigation that was released yesterday and shows that kids' meals at restaurants are too high in calories and that good options are difficult to find. They also point to the number of cities and states that have required fast food chains to put the number of calories in their meals on the menu, and that's a movement that's gaining some speed in cities all over the country. It's an interesting report. Thank you to Rhonda Fanning for producing this hour and to John Treader for on-air production here in our studios in Milwaukee. And thank you, everybody, for all of your calls. We have news coming up from National Public Radio and many more hours of interesting conversation ahead. So stay tuned on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.